Hello and welcome to None in the Chamber. I'm Thomas Slighthome, proud owner of three cacti, and I'll be taking you through the history of a gun that never caught on. Whether they were scrapped in field tests, made in small numbers, or simply shelved in the planning stages, these are guns that Hollywood will tell you are more common than they really are. Today we're going to be looking at a gun that I'm a big fan of, 1942's Delisle Carbine, a stealth rifle so quiet that even modern guns struggle to match its volume. The Delisle was a bizarre creation that came into a limited run of 129 units, never receiving any kind of official continuation. Today, it mostly survives in conversion kits and modern recreations that try to accurately capture the original weapon's functionality, but why didn't it catch on? William Godfrey Delisle was an engineer for the Air Ministry in 1942. He designed the weapon in his spare time, probably as a way to shoot small game on the Berkshire Downs, close to his home in Dagenham. It's unknown whether or not this was actually the original purpose of the carbine, but it's confirmed that he did shoot a small variety of animals for food, apparently never using it for sport. The prototype used .22 caliber rounds, although it's unknown which variant William designed the weapon for, probably .22 long rifle rounds. .22 long rifle may still be the most common type of ammunition in the world, and it still uses the original rimfire design that the ammunition has had since 1887. Roughly a year after constructing the weapon, William approached a combined operations officer named Major Malcolm Campbell, the same Campbell who was later known for his motoring skills, MBE, and breaking the world speed records on multiple occasions.
Here she comes, Bluebird, on her record run over Salt Lake, flashing past the aeroplane at 304 miles an hour. To Malcolm Hill's ambition, he sends a message to his movie-tone colleagues.
Tough luck, I think, getting so near it. Actually, 0.005 of a second. We just missed the average of 300 miles an hour. We did 304.8 one way, but 295.5 in the reverse direction. A bit of wind got up.
Campbell was able to arrange an informal test in the borough of the city of Westminster in London, in which the weapon was fired directly into the Thames waters from the roof of the New Adelphi building. This test was witnessed by an unknown number of combined operations officers and officials, including Campbell himself, all of whom were reportedly impressed by the weapon's performance and its really quiet gunshots. Combined operations asked William to produce a version of the weapon that could fire the larger 9mm rounds, the same caliber used by the suppressed Sten Mark IIs, which had first seen service in 1943. This was mainly due to the fact that 9mm, being a popular ammunition type for both British and German forces, could be manufactured easily and was easy to find behind enemy lines, allowing soldiers to resupply themselves almost anywhere. However, a 9mm conversion or variant turned out to be a failure, possibly due to the way the barrel was constructed. Some records imply that the weapon suffered from reliability issues, although it's unclear whether this was related to the operation of the gun, the velocity and accuracy of the bullet, or a bit of both. The barrel design may also have contributed, although modern companies have been able to fix this. Weapons like the Special Interest Arms Novum 9mm are able to use 9mm Luger rounds and operate in the same way as a normal weapon would. Once the 9mm tests had concluded, William insisted that the weapon should be chambered in .45 ACP, a subsonic American round that's still used all over the world today, albeit mostly replaced by modern 9mm rounds. The lower velocity worked well with a suppressed barrel, reducing the sound even further and showing no consistent functional issues. Combined operations were even more impressed by the way the weapon was functioning, although it's possible that one or two members were still concerned over how scarce 45 ACP could be in areas without American troops or ammunition shipments. The first prototype run, barring William's original carbine, consisted of 17 units and was produced at Ford's Ford Dagenham factory in London. These models used suppressor tubes that were around 2 inches in diameter and 15 in length, with 13 baffles to deflect sound and gas before it could escape the barrel. The barrel itself was a cut-down version of the type used in the 45 Thompson submachine gun, which was fitted inside a short magazine Lee Enfield receiver with some extra components to make it compatible with the new type of round. Since the SMLE was designed to accept .303 British rounds, modifications had to be made to the weapon's chamber and magazine so that an appropriate magazine could be used instead. Since it was meant for stealth and minimising its weight and profile was incredibly important, the army decided to use 1911 pistol magazines instead, which had been given an extra rib at the top to work with the original 303 magazine catch. Official testing began at some point during 1943. Some of the weapons were handed to British commandos for field testing, while others remained in Britain for formal tests against other silenced weapons. These firing tests confirmed that the weapons would produce 85 to 86 decibels of noise when fired, becoming basically inaudible at 50 metres. They also had a shot grouping with a diameter of around 2 inches when stationary. The slow speed of the rounds, combined with the suppressor's length, made it fairly durable compared to other stealth weapons. Most models could fire hundreds of rounds before needing any sort of repair jobs. On the 16th of November 1944, the contract for a full-scale production run was issued. 450 Delisle carbines would be constructed at the Stirling Engineering Plant, with an additional 50 airborne variants included in the same order. Ford's designs had been slightly altered to make the weapon perform better and reduce material costs. Strangely enough, alongside the order, two extra units were produced, both with folding stocks and pistol grips. It was likely for testing its worth as a paratrooper weapon, but no more were ever created, suggesting that it either failed its tests or wasn't useful enough to push into full production. The new design came with a new suppressor, this one 16 inches long and using 13 baffles. These baffles were made of an aluminium, copper and magnesium alloy known as duralumin. The weapon was also given a wooden forearm under the suppressor, which got rid of the awkward lip between the receiver and the barrel sections, and a Lancaster rear sight was attached to the top of the suppressor. The bolt, which could be louder than the weapon's gunshots, was made quieter with some soft material between the receiver and the bolt handle, so it wouldn't clang back when pulled. The completed carbines were once again passed to commando units shortly before the D-Day landings, where they performed as expected and remained a well-kept secret in case the opposing armies tried to copy it. The original run, despite its success, was cancelled in 1945, on the 20th of December. So little documentation exists about the production run that it's unknown exactly how many were finished, although most often cited sources say that only 106 units were completed. Others say that the remaining half-finished units were also completed after the cancellation, pushing the number up to 130. Other sources, including one unit with a 209 serial number, suggest that as much as a full half of the original order might have been finished. The Delisle was involved in a number of operations and conflicts, and not just within commando units. Some of these included various World War II clandestine operations, Operation Jedburgh, the Burma campaign, the Korean War, the Malayan Emergency, and the Troubles. The reason all these examples are vague is because the weapon has almost no service history. Whatever limited information the British Army kept was destroyed by a German V rocket, and the hidden nature of the weapon made it unlikely that any public records were ever kept. This makes it a bit of an oddball case, as many other rare weapons suffer the opposite problem. We know exactly why they were made and where they were used, but we don't have any information about when they were made, or who they were made for. The Delisle was, and still is, a masterpiece when it comes to stealth weaponry. The difficulty involved in manufacturing a weapon that could dip below 90 decibels was extensive, and it didn't even lose its killing power. There wasn't many alternatives at the time. In fact, the carbine was perfect for its role. It was practically inaudible at 50 feet, which was the same as its suggested maximum range, giving a single soldier the power to eliminate sentries and scouts with ease. An entire squad or team armed with carbines could theoretically steamroll a patrol without giving away their presence, and its manageable accuracy at 200 feet meant that it could drive out small outposts. The carbine took a very different role to the suppressed Sten, despite both being used by commandos for more or less the same reason. The higher effective and maximum firing ranges, combined with the lower muzzle velocity, made it useful for eliminating sentries without any kind of sound, flash, or stray shots, and it probably would have made an excellent assassination weapon in the hands of a decent marksman. The high bullet drop of the ACP rounds means that it couldn't really be used on the fly, but it was so quiet that the user could potentially fire one or two shots at range without hitting the target and still stay hidden. Perhaps the biggest notch under the Delisle's belt is the fact that it used a lot of pre-existing parts. It used a Thompson barrel, SMLE receiver, and 1911 magazines, so it took barely any work to actually produce and could theoretically be upgraded or repaired with the same pieces as the original weapons. This also meant that certain replacement parts could be ripped out of damaged weapons and used to fix a Delisle, or vice versa. The German army had their own bullet calibers and magazines during the war, and generally didn't stockpile American ammunition unless they were explicitly ordered to. The Parabellum and Mauser rounds didn't come in sizes that would work in the Delisle, which meant that testing the weapon or trying to use it against the Allied forces would have been a logistical nightmare. Trying to modify the guns to fire 19x9 ammunition could have led to the same problems as the original 9mm tests, meaning the German army would still have a more ineffective version of the gun. Even if they did manage to use it, they would still have to replace the parts, all of which were made by British or American forces. That meant that it was very difficult to repair damaged ones, even if they did capture them. Unfortunately, the Delisle had limitations that technology at the time simply couldn't overcome. The low range and slow fire rate meant that it wouldn't fare well in open combat at long ranges, unless you were well hidden, and the noise it made was still loud enough to hear in close quarters or indoors, which made it less useful in situations where you couldn't stay away from the enemy. Since the Delisle wasn't a conventional weapon, other roles had to be filled by regular weapons. This would have added to the supplies each squad or vehicle would have had to carry, slowing them down and taking up space that could have been used for more useful equipment. The rifles that made it into service were generally given to commandos, infiltrators, and other agents that relied on smaller numbers and stealth tactics to succeed at small goals. A stealth weapon is only as hidden as its user, and larger forces would have struggled to conceal themselves. The only exception would be marksmen or sharpshooters if they used it to pick off targets silently, which could technically work if there was a battle going on elsewhere and they had a line of sight to some targets, but it would only last as long as that sniper could stay hidden. The army's ability to manufacture them could have also been a problem. Getting 45 ACP rounds from Americans wasn't that difficult, especially when they were working together, but the Delisle was very carefully designed. The suppressor baffles and lipped magazines weren't standard for any other weapons. They couldn't be used in any others, and if they were scrapped or needed to be replaced, they were useless. There was nothing that could be done with them other than melting them down or breaking them down for materials. The exact number of surviving Delisle carbines is unknown. A lot of them have probably been deactivated or blocked up to make sure they can't ever be fired again, and a lot of them ended up in museums across the UK, like the National Army Museum, who have unfortunately lost theirs, but others are likely owned by private collectors for display purposes or maybe target shooting. Even though the Delisle never received any official production runs after the war, a lot of companies have tried to take up the gauntlet and produce their own silent rifles. A lot of these new Delisles have different designs or internal parts to ensure that they're legal in whichever country they're built in, usually America. Others will be converted from old SMLEs or similar rifles without any of the Delisle's unique parts, making them a bit more of a hybrid weapon. A few companies have begun to produce more accurate replica Delisles, including Special Interest Arms and Valkyrie Arms, but these are generally only sold to trusted users because of the quiet, hard-to-identify nature of the weapon. So far, no company has tried to build another weapon that combines the Delisle's silent nature with modern technologies, but this might be because the original gun relied on its simplicity. As far as anybody knows, the Delisle carbine has made its very subtle mark in history, and it's time for it to fade back into obscurity, another military project that served its purpose and is forgotten.